All right. We are here once again with the Bald and the Beautiful. We are the Bald. I am Trixie Mattel.
I am also the Bald. I am Katya. And we couldn't be more thrilled.
We have literally, I mean, somebody who transcends natural laws with beauty.
Age-defying, species-defying.
Intergalactical. Yeah,
planetary. Defying.
Oh, yeah. Intercontinental.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, citizen of the world. And literally someone whose literal brand identity and just soul is infused and informed by beauty.
Yeah, somebody who has suffered for their art, dedicated their lives to the simple pleasures of having something beautiful to look at on the planet.
I'm practically Miss a frontline Bane. Worker. Miss-
oh, thank you.
We do eventually let people talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're fine. Actually, I prefer it this way. It's the nice option other than the voices inside my head, which are still very much there this many years later.
We have to address something you said coming out of the pod a second ago, that if you thought we would let go, you're living in a dream. You said that you don't have a computer.
No, I don't.
Okay, you got it. You got it.
I don't have a computer.
It makes perfect sense.
It's not shocking. It's incredible, but it's not shocking.
Well, here's the thing. Ask the question and I'll answer accordingly. Is there a question?
Okay. Have you ever felt the temptation to get a computer?
Yes, but I grew up in a house with my grandparents, and we only had one to play solitaire. That was the only purpose for the computer that was in the house. Okay.
I can relate. Whereas of a similar age. Are you 35?
Yeah. Yeah. And you?
35. Yeah.
And okay. How old are you?
38.
Okay.
38. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. Okay.
Because I remember those solitaire programs on the good old DOS or whatever you called it. Yeah.
So when you use a computer, you're on your lovely husband's computer right now.
Yes. And I really I don't know how to use them. I really know how to use, I that's why I don't have TikTok. I don't have certain apps because I'm overwhelmed with the keeping up aspect of our young generation. It's too much all the time.
Fame, I am so in my soul, on a soul level, I am so appreciative that you don't have a TikTok.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, same.
You're missing nothing.
I understand I keep thinking it's gonna pass and it won't matter. It will not have mattered if you had this monumentous success, except for those that are having success on TikTok are making a lot of money. So
are they though?
Maybe. I feel like.
Okay, they are. Okay.
Why are you
that
looking at her?
That explains the effort.
Does she have a TikTok?
I mean, look at Brittany Broski. She just hosted something for like VH1. She was in a Super Bowl commercial.
Oh, wow.
She had viral TikTok. Right.
Okay. I don't understand, and I still haven't been able to fully comprehend how certain aspects of social media equate to becoming famous. Like, you do something here, and then you're working with, like, Jennifer Lopez. You know what I mean? Somebody that's given 30-plus years of her life as a dedicated dancer and elevating her singing capabilities. I'm using her as an example because of her age and her dedication some young person that has a phone that all of a sudden did something for a 15-minute or 15-second clip that makes them so important that they get to stand and hold ground with somebody who's earned the right. I might be totally controversial in that, but
No, it's wild.
No, I'm glad you brought it up. I think it has to do with, think about it. You're J-Lo, your diehard fans are probably momish aged.
Yeah.
Right? They grew up with you, they love you.
Yeah.
So this is like probably like J-Lo's team being like, how do we indoctrinate the 18 to 25 year olds?
Yeah,
we have to get somebody who's a celebrity to them to stand next to Jennifer Lopez, which whatever. Those type of like marketing things have given many of us those type of opportunities.
Yeah.
And, like,
and they've existed
cool.
long before TikTok.
Right.
But it's strange though. I was thinking the other day about TikTok, and it's like, for me, it doesn't make the experience of music any better.
Mm.
Like, for example, when my favorite artist recently released this gorgeous song and music video, and then also the TikTok challenge to it. And I'm like, I could do without that part.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It was a gorgeous, beautiful, like meaningful song. And now there's a challenge. And I'm like,
I can't do it.
You know, whatever. I'm old.
But this maybe it's because
no, it's not. It's some Russian lady.
I always do this, and this happens with even recording artists. When somebody comes out and everyone hypes them, I always feel like it. Maybe this is just the way I'm wired. I resist it until I finally get it, and then when I get it, it makes sense because they've kind of claimed that space. And once they've claimed that space by repeating their brilliance, and you see it continue, I'm like, oh, you've totally. It makes sense why you have the success you do. I think that a lot of people now are still aspiring to become famous because of a void within themselves. They think, oh, if I make it there, it's going to equate. And a lot of these young people, I'm going to use another example. If you come from a famous family and then you're just ushered in a nepotistic way into becoming famous, there is no struggle. They didn't have to break a barrier or a boundary. It kind of was just, oh, I have a following because my mom is name that person. And then all of a sudden we're watching you as a point of reference and having to pay you with some form of respect just because you were born underneath the name of somebody. And with us coming from our backgrounds, real people, real stories, fighting to claim space, building our lives, buying homes. Because Trixie, you just bought a house, right? Back in Chicago?
Several.
So several. See, I mean, I'm struggling here. Don't let the gold frames fool you. This is all an illusion, darling. It's all rented.
Miss Dame's like, I don't have a computer. And how many homes do you have?
But you both had monumentous successes. So when I see us having a breakthrough, considering we know elements of each other's human experience, not to discredit these other people, but just taking this moment to say what we've done is so big, and we still have to branch beyond the category that people place us in because we're still a certain kind of artist. So yes, respect, and yes, breakthroughs, and yes, there's money, and there's all these things that come along with that. But what if the trend and hype around us changes in the next 5 years? We have to work harder to keep being that bad bitch on top of our game. And these other people can dip away and come back, and they're like, oh, well, you know, my house in the hills that my mom paid for, you know, I'm just a bitter bitch.
Yes.
Because we have
but
to work harder.
That's why I'm behind the scenes practicing my 10-second TikTok dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just in case.
But you can.
And ultimately, I think the pursuit of being famous is, you know,
fleeting.
Noble.
Speaking of fleet, Miss Fame. Oh, I'm going to rebrand.
Madam Fame.
Right. Yeah. First name
I often
is
forget
Miss.
That you come from humble beginnings.
The humblest.
Yeah.
Because you have a very regal, very poised, very articulate and stately kind of demeanor.
Yeah, for those of us who don't know, Miss Fame is a very celebrated makeup artist, model, drag queen, legend. But if they don't know you from television, do you want to tell people about your modest, humble beginnings?
What part?
The chickens.
I start with... today I was just talking to Patrick about this. I just got back from a booking in Berlin. I had to quarantine and COVID test and all that. And it was for television. So it was interesting to be a part of something. It's not out, but I'm going to talk in a general way. To be able to give our point of, elevated point of view, we find that we're getting to places where we're able to now give direction and dictate what is happening because people are looking at us with respect. I want to keep that. And coming from where I come from, where I've created an idea around myself because of the way I grew up. And, you know, like anybody that grew up with a very toxic environment, I had a good family, but they really didn't have a clue of what they were experiencing with having a person like me in their family. So I don't know if I want to give them a co-sign it and say they just didn't have enough information. I think that I like to pressure people. And as a kid, I pressured people to try to understand differences. And I also was very forgiving.
I love the idea
forgiving.
Of you like 6 years old putting the pressure on your family.
I did though.
You need to be more aware of differences, darling.
Yeah. I think
what let's expand your worldview, huh?
I'll just say this. My mother and father were severe drug addicts. My dad died super young. My mom lost the kids to the court. So I was a kid that was a part of the system. I had to go through the court system. I ended up getting adopted by my family. It was a hot mess for a really long time. And that was so persistent that when And I had my own issues with addiction. We've obviously had that moment on yeah. Drag Race where we shared our personal journey. And that, you know, getting sober and staying sober throughout the fame, you know, I was sober before Drag Race, and then being sober after Drag Race was such a challenge, because it was less of a challenge about the relapse. For me, it was more the challenge of maintaining sanity. Because I was like, I'm fucking losing my mind. And also, I have created the idea of perfectionism on the outside. It's a total protection. Because, you know, I'm surrounded by these larger-than-life kind of fantastical creatures in fashion. And then knowing that they are just spiraling down themselves. They have their own layers and complexities. And I think,
is that common?
Yeah, go ahead, honey.
Is that common? That kind of, like, it's a cliche of the fashion world, but are people, is it, do you,
it's not
real.
Just us?
It's not
just
the cross-dressers. No, it's so real, but they have money. They have large quantities of money. They're backed by fashion houses. They've got billion-dollar backings to do these massive inputs in fashion. They are redirecting the narrative. And it's like you have to be connected and associated to, it's just playing, you know, of course I'm passionate about it, but everything's about connection and being associated to. And for me, I'm finding less of this interesting as I'm getting older. I want to be able to kind of enjoy things, but with a little bit less of an attachment to anything. Like, what really matters at the end of the day is like being with people that get you and enjoying some of those simpler things, like, you know, my dogs. I mean, we're not able to do the same things we were doing a year ago. We aren't hopping everywhere.
I think
and flying
it's ultimately
everywhere.
Part of what makes you so alluring is that you're obviously, your dedication to beauty is so extreme and beautiful and inspiring, but really only on your own terms ever.
Yeah.
Which I think is like really cool, because somebody with your talent and like your name and your respect, you could have had a lot of opportunities to let people tell you when to show up and what to do. And
who is this person? I mean, I might need that person.
You're famous and respected and so beautiful. And anybody would die to look like you do in wet hair in a trench coat. That's not a read, but you just like, you're so aspirational, but it's because it's paired with the nicest person ever underneath.
Yeah.
And your true desires to like, go to Switzerland and hang out with your husband and your dog.
Yeah.
Is like not something that a lot of people would, let's just say, have like the third eye to know to like follow that like will, follow that indulgence. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think everything we do is based off intuition. I will say, I don't know if you're aware of that, but everything we've done, you know, any one of us has our moment where we've done something that is controversial or polarizing, or it causes a rift in the system where people are like, what the fuck are you doing?
And I can't
never have I ever. But I think that you've both been able to find ways, I think, in comedy and lightness, when you can spin it to where that people can comprehend it because it is funny. I mean, we're just trying to like show up and do what we got to do and keeping it lighthearted. I mean, of course, there's a lot more. You know, I'm as heady as I was at Drag Race, except I don't have the pressure of a network and what's happening behind with production. So this is just my daily living. You're just happening to get me after I was on Facebook, like ranting back against Trump supporters because I was so frustrated.
Mary, why are you on Facebook?
Oh, wait, before we get into fame on Facebook, we're going to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. And we're back.
Now let's talk about Fame Book.
We are?
Yeah. Fame Book.
The book. So basically, I moved here in September to Switzerland, and we came out here because there was nothing happening in New York. And I've lived in New York for a decade. You know, when a lot of girls after Drag Race end up in LA, it seems to be like the best place to keep working because you can stay within the production loop. And maybe this is observational. I kind of felt like there was a conversation about it and I didn't take it. Is this something
I know,
that you
I'm
feel
curious,
is common
I'm curious
ground?
Myself. What do you think as a, like a pretty like, almost lifelong New Yorker, like what do you credit the mass exodus to? Like, why does everybody move to LA? Is it space? Is it opportunity?
I think because we've had so much success with the show, with Drag Race, everybody wants to keep that momentum. Like, obviously, you get off the show, and it's your full responsibility to charge and maintain your title. Like, what you do needs to be in your hands, even if you have great representation. Or if you don't have representation, you can really direct the narrative. I came to Switzerland because my husband's Swiss. I posted about it on Twitter, and I tried to write in Twitter slang because, you know, every platform has their own term of context of how you talk. And I'm not hip and cool. I'm really not at zero. And I wrote in a way that was like trying to speak to the kids on Twitter, and I totally got like devoured. And I said, listen, bitch, like this is not, I wasn't coming to attack you when I posted a picture holding my dogs at a lake, isolated from the world. Oh, I remember this.
Mary, that is legendary to me.
I love it. When I think of the worst time of my life, I think of you naked, glistening next to a lake with your dogs, and even I'm calmed by it.
Instant serotonin boost.
I love it.
Yeah. It's so fierce.
But it is isolating. You know, you could be in the most beautiful place in the world and feel like, holy fuck, I have nobody around.
Sure.
Both good and bad. You need that. And it was like restorative. And a lot of people talked about the privilege perspective. And I thought, it's my husband is European. It wasn't like I would never have been able to come to Europe during this pandemic just because I was able to do it because I'm married to him.
Yeah.
And when I did it, I realized so many people were upset. A lot of people talked about how I left my family, aka the rest of the US, burning. And I thought, I'm not a frontline worker.
You're not a politician. You're not a member of Congress or like a senator.
No. Like, people in wigs are definition non-essential workers.
Oh, Mary. And it's like, I think actually, finally, this bizarre, like haphazard conversation about drag queens being like automatic ambassadors and activists of their community is kind of getting like lessened, because that's something I've never really understood. And the responsibility of drag entertainers is the standard that we're kept to is like more stringent than politicians. You know what I mean? So it's those kind of comments
totally
are crazy.
Fucked up. And
but do you like Switzerland?
It's not my city. It's not my country. Zurich. I'm in Zurich, and I've realized the Swiss are very internal people. They're conservative and they are observational. They'll see you, but they won't really acknowledge you. You will be seen in a way, but with a veil.
There was no
There's
parade.
There's always this barrier.
When you arrived, there was no parade.
I was waiting because I get this. I'm going to follow up on that. Yes. Because in certain cities in Europe, I feel like I make sense there. In Paris, it works and I feel stimulated. The beauty of being in Switzerland is that I didn't come here to, I came here because we needed to change our scenario. My husband's going to be working here. And as a result, I'm surrounded by nature. This is good for my mind.
Yeah. You are on a parallel path to Pearl.
Oh yes,
Pearls and Wigs in the Woods.
Yeah. Wigs in the Woods, and you're in this like the crisp alpine like lake, and that's so funny. You guys are in a parallel journey. Yeah,
that's
to the
true.
Source. Nature is healing.
Yes,
nature is healing, and that's just true. I definitely think that this is a good next step, but I don't think it's my long term step. I think that I'll. I want to live close to New York or maybe in California. I'm from California, so I do feel kind of that pull to return at one point. But
if money was no object and Patrick had any work opportunity that he wanted, where would you go to live if you had to choose one city for the rest of your life?
I would probably get back to being close to New York.
New York, yeah.
I still, although I hate the weather, I hate it so much, I still have so much admiration for the idea of what New York is. It's one of the most intuitive places. It felt right when I went there, and when I've like looked at being in Paris, Paris is good for one major element. It's strictly for my fashion identity. But it means I have a lot of pressure. When I walk outside, I have to care about how I look because people will see me. And I feel like I've built a somewhat respectful relationship with the Parisian fashionista kind of energy and those people that are within fashion. But like here, I'm anonymous and I like that. I don't need the parade, but I also, I'm not able to build friendships the same way here. In New York or
especially
even in California, you make friends like effortlessly. There's no queen here I could just go and grab a coffee with. But it's also different times. Like, it's during a pandemic. You can't just go and hang out with newbies. You kind of have your friends that you know you're safe with.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people who moved to Los Angeles during this time. And I'm like, how do you love it? They're like, who knows?
Right.
I have no job and no friends and no restaurants and no bars.
Yeah. Jobs are different now. You know, a lot of it's like, I haven't done fashion weeks in February of 2020. I've put everything off. I declined attending anything because I thought it was in poor taste. I thought it's not the right moment to show up and be around a bunch of people because we don't have it all figured out yet. But at the same time, I feel like I am only human and I'm going to contradict that statement at one point in time because opportunities and work have to happen. We have to survive.
Right.
So when we inevitably take a job during this time, during a pandemic, how do we protect others and ourselves? That's why I think it's really important we talk about acknowledge, I'll just say this one part, because it is a form of protection. When people come for you, you're like, I literally quarantined just to enter that next country that's like an hour flight away, and which means isolating in a hotel and testing, repeatedly getting tested just to be on set. I was supposed to film something last month in Berlin. It got canceled because some of the people on set had COVID. The day of, after quarantining for weeks, having to come back and do it, and I just got back. So it's very exhausting. Just to film one day's work, it's like multiple weeks of quarantining alone in a hotel room. This is what's happening just to enter Berlin.
Yeah, so
from Zurich. So
I have to get like double tested for Pit Stop, and I sit there alone and talk to the TV.
Yeah.
Not even a real person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked
and
on
a television. You have to act like all good.
I worked on a television, like a scripted television show, and it was like the movie Outbreak. I mean, it was wild.
Yeah. 12
like,
monkeys.
Did you have tents on set?
Crazy. You know, testing in the morning. The most out.
Temp checks too, like multiple times a day.
Multiple. With the full rectal face of makeup on, mask, shield. It's like, you know, a lot. It's just very, very crazy. You know, it's a very different reality.
Oh, how did you protect your face from a mask? I was holding it upon like walking in the building.
Don't even get me started. White skin, red lipstick. And I was like, I was like, mama.
But let's talk about the tip of the nose contour, because that's the first thing to go.
Oh, yeah.
So unless you've, I know this is more of a tricksy thing, and maybe me too, because this is where a lot of my little detail work goes as a makeup artist.
The little shimmer.
I would say what you do is detail. I would say I'm doing hieroglyphics over here.
And you're doing hieroglyphics. You are.
With the mask on.
Yeah.
I have to like kind of not breathe. And like I was just at the Viacom building and I had to stand outside the door, go like, put it on, and put it on in a way where I'm trying to like press it up to the nose and not pull on the nose, and then get up there, get in my dressing room, and immediately snatch it off. Yeah. One thing I did too was liberally set that part of my face with powder.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and that's then do the mask. Really good tip.
Honestly, if you really had to, you really could just do like eyes and then get there into the bottom.
That's what I have to do now. If I have to enter a building and drag with a mask, I'll just wait to do my lips there.
Yeah.
But now while we have, okay, on the subject of beauty, I just got your, thank you by the way for sending me the lip kit.
Oh, let's take a break.
Oh, yeah, okay, little,
let's take a quick break.
Bye guys.
Can you quickly go down the list? Because I know that what products have you made that are your favorite, and which ones if you don't mind, like which ones sell the best?
We want exact figures here.
Yeah, and down to the dollar amount would be
Patrick,
great.
Patrick, my financing. Do you want the
send your W-2s. We're just gonna scrub through them quick on the call.
That other woman lipstick. Yes. Let me just tell you really quick. So sorry, I used it. I put it on. And then I pressed the glitter into the lipstick, and it stayed for hours.
Without glue, which is nice.
Lip sync performances on my little, just for myself. And it stayed. And I'm very aware of glitter lips looking hokey pokey sometimes, you know?
Totally.
And I really got to like, I'm very impressed. It's really great product. And it looked fantastic.
Thank you.
It didn't look crafty or like, you know,
Your glitters are fab. They're so fine and so comfortable.
Beautiful.
You know how it goes. And I think that takes a bit of knowing where your brand direction is, like talk from a brand to a brand, from the brand to the other brand.
From the brand to a brand.
No, but your brand is doing quite well, and you have so many amazing products, and your marketing is extraordinary. You really have it. Like, we could obviously compliment each other. We've seen each other come from walking into a workroom and then to going out into the world and presenting our own experience. Like, what an amazing success. And with regards to what is my favorite, I really love the lipsticks. They're like my top favorite thing, like Flash of Flesh. I wear that the most for Fashion Week.
Yeah, like it's a nude.
It's really good for Fashion Week. Yeah.
It's a nude with really not too much like rosiness. It's truly like a flesh color.
Yeah. And How's Your Head is the best seller, but that's obviously because of our origin story.
Right.
And so that's why we introduced that specific lipstick. And it's the most user friendly.
I was going to say, this really looks like almost liner optional color. Like, really throw it on. Mm-hmm.
It's like the color of my natural lips. So I base that one more so off of somebody that's afraid of makeup, but it's a full coverage. So depending on your skin tone, you're going to get a payoff. I wanted to do something conditioning, and I wanted the formula to be really, really perfect. So I spent a lot of time in the lab learning about how to create a product. And that is so intense when you're in there, because your whole future is on the line based off of what you're producing. You're like, this needs to work because people know me for this. Exactly what I'm doing now.
I know.
So I'm very proud about what I've created, but it is a lot of work. And sometimes I think, what else would I do if I wasn't doing this now? You know? And I think that's a question we've maybe all considered at times, but it's like a fine balance. I think how I keep my drag interesting to me is by changing it up kind of within subtle adjustments. So after doing an album and going touring on the bus with the girls for somewhat of a brief moment of my life, I stopped performing altogether because I just felt like I'm not going to be able to manage my image if I'm working all these hours late at night.
No shit.
And then going to another city, my skin's being compromised. And I was so concerned about how I was being physically affected by being on a tour bus. Like, this is so exhausting. And caring about then showing up to an editorial because I was between two worlds. And fashion was my deepest passion.
Protecting yourself is a totally valid thing.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, the day to day, the Miss Fame, like, beauty regimen.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Oh, it's obsession. Well,
you look fantastic, by the way.
What's the six hour? What's the process of preparing the body?
Yeah. I don't work out. I eat light and, water.
I sit by the water with my dogs. That's it.
Fresh infusions of alpine air.
I eat a lot of chocolate. Sometimes I smoke cigarettes. I think sleep is a huge factor. As we get older, we have to take, like, rest is so essential, or else you see it, like, it's on the face. Everything whatever you do, it shows up here.
In large print, honey. Large
pores, honey.
Large print translated into multiple languages.
Botox, fillers, lasers, facials, laser hair removal, blockers. I've done it. You name it.
Have you done fibroblasting?
After Drag Race, I have done it.
Fibroblasting?
Resurfacing, retexturing, remolding, crown molding.
Vinyl siding.
Dave's got crime.
Vinyl siding. Yeah.
She's got aluminum ceilings, folks.
I mean, oh God.
But
your skin, I mean, okay, so it's 7:30 p.m.
Can you get close to the camera?
Yeah, 7:40 p.m. in Zurich right now.
Wow.
I don't know that you have makeup on route. Your brows are perfectly manicured.
Oh, I do. I have a little YSL highlighter under the eyes because I did just travel back from one day of work and I was exhausted.
Are you microbladed?
Oh, no. I just tweezed my eyebrows so thin for that one day of work. And then because the work is so, it's different. When we do Drag Race, after Drag Race, you have this window where you're literally every single day is like heavy hit. Yeah. And you're out there in the world in a different city, in a different, not now, but before.
Yeah.
And then when you have a bit more, well, you guys have been completely consumed with being busy since kind of
Whores.
Forever.
Whores.
Yeah,
whores.
You're in it.
Grizzled whores.
But I've taken a lot of space because I thought, how can I sustain longevity for me? For me, what that looked like was only showing up to specific things. So I do couture and I do Fashion Week in Paris. I haven't really done New York in a while, a couple years. And I've started realizing that my presence at front rows and building this expert viewpoint, because there's only a few of us girls that are attending these shows. It's me, sure. It's Violet, and it's Aquaria. I'm sure at some point in time when we get back to shows, I know Nikki Doll's been to going to a few, and at some point Gigi Good will probably be at a few. But this is, it's kind of like where fashion pulls in a few girls that are like the it girl of of that season, and also wanting to maintain that, because what that looks like for somebody like myself is it can turn into a cosmetic contract, a fragrance contract, or walking in a show, or being photographed for Vogue, or, you know, and so these things that have happened in my career, when they started happening, they felt like and were career breakthroughs for drag or gender nonconforming people. Because in 2015, when I went to Cannes, I don't recall ever seeing a drag queen walk the red carpet for a cosmetic brand. I was there as a spokesmodel for L'Oreal. And since then, I was so hard set on keeping that and not losing those type of opportunities. And they're hard enough for girls like Karlie Kloss to maintain.
Right.
So
right,
I was like, yeah, it could be lost.
We haven't found it too difficult.
Yeah. I mean,
we really just show up.
Oh, I know.
Personally,
oh, I know.
I've been approached.
And if I refuse to go, they just bring the runway to my living room. I can't escape them.
I got to ask you, Fame, about this, about Fashion Week and about attending fashion shows, because I see the, you know, I see the photos on my phone. And what I see is, you know, this stunning, impossible, incredible effortless glamour. Effortless. But
so
what
much effort
I think about is horror, pain, humiliation.
Yes.
Personally,
100%.
I'm like, what would it take for me to do that? To, I mean, it just seems like a nightmare, the actual live reality of it. What is it actually like to attend a fashion show in full, flawless drag?
There's a few factors. There's a lot of fittings that happen in advance. And I built relationships with stylists that are connected to fashion houses that have decades of experience with all of the most major fashion houses. Meanwhile, certain designers are partial to certain queens. So somebody might like Violet more than they like me, or they like Aquaria more than they like me. This is just, this is across the board. Somebody always has a favorite. And I didn't win Drag Race. So I'd only done it the one time. So keeping myself relevant without constantly being on a network or a series means that I have to stay visible specifically through Instagram, and specifically also I stopped doing YouTube like years ago.
That's right.
I kind of got
you
burnt
were kind
out
of the OG YouTube, like
makeup,
drag makeup.
Yeah.
You're
I
the first
love,
person to lift the veil in any way and put that information out there. Not to mention,
thank you.
I was going to say what no one says. You did drag in a way that you did not pick up from drag queens in clubs. So you did drag makeup different than anyone had done it, really.
I loved getting painted by you for your YouTube channel.
We just had a good time. It was a really, and thank you. It was really funny. And we laughed a lot and we were able to keep the engagement.
Mama,
did you laugh?
Yeah.
I felt the fan. I went and performed that night. And
did you
felt
feel
like
it?
The only person who ever had breasts, a pussy, and like real hair growing out of my head. I felt like the only
and
woman.
You were kind of, I know you wanted to buy that synthetic wig. I
surely did.
To your head that day. Well, I'm willing to sell it now.
Yeah,
fashion is not what I thought it was.
But let me ask you though, like,
now that she's a refugee.
Yes, an expat in need. Like when these fashion shows, do you get, I mean, I don't know. I just think about the cliches of like,
snooty
fashion people. Do you get like, do people quote unquote take you seriously? Are they nice? Or are, do you ever like, is there a lot of pressure to maintain that like a perfect look all day in the daylight?
Yes, because sometimes you have several shows in a day and they're very important that you make them, because it's a very political industry, and you need to be aware that when you're invited, you're being invited by the house, whoever's in control of the house, or the designer themselves. So for me, with like Kim Jones and Dior, that was a connection because Marc Jacobs. I painted Marc Jacobs for fun, for YouTube. Marc Jacobs paid to place that image in an anniversary issue of Vogue, where they ran a full page, and he's like, do you know how expensive it is to run a page in Vogue? And it was just Marc Jacobs in drag from a selfie from Snapchat that I took. And it was like,
he was feeling
that moment. To then saying, Kim Jones is being introduced, and he's the the creative director of Dior, and it's at DragCon, and then we're taking this photo, and then I'm having lunch with Kim Jones, and then it's me, Kim Jones, and Naomi Campbell in Soho, talking, getting so much personal information. Like, I should have written on an NDA, because you cannot reshare what the fuck goes on there. Shopping at Supreme and knowing, like, there's no money on my card. I can't go shopping with these people. They're so, like, Naomi Campbell's like, everything in here, they've already sent it to me, but that shirt would look good on you. And she's so intimidating. And yes. I'm like, how do I bridge the gap to this woman? I've met her in fashion multiple times because of Kim Jones and Marc Jacobs. Sometimes she remembers me, sometimes she doesn't. Mm. And in different cities like Paris, New York, and London, all very luxury. This is a very luxury conversation, but I was like at the bottom of the totem pole. Sure. But opportunities were opening a dialogue.
And yeah, I thought, plus one.
These experiences are things that I would, yeah, I'm just like, keep it cool. But I was worried about how I was going to look showing up as Curtis versus as Miss Fame, because they were meeting me as this ethereal creature. And in my real life, I don't, that's not my real life.
I mean, you're still pretty ethereal. Yeah,
you're not
very beautiful.
But
you're
I put in the work because I'm drag,
let's say that. Okay.
You're not.
The teeth are paid Coons for. Yeah, the teeth, this is all paid for now. Everything from the neck up that's been invested
that's
has
why
brought
you
me to a
Supreme.
Place of level energy. Because this is something that when you get into the show, you know, they joke in those memes. It says when you're on Drag Race, you're the season you're on, and then All Stars, and yep. We all look like jacked up, pumped, filled, and yep. All the. It's like, yeah, we start investing in ourselves, and we have to maintain ourselves, and maybe that's Botox, and maybe yep. That's new teeth, and maybe that's yep. New hair, and maybe that's new skin, and maybe that's new clothing, and all of these things come together because we, for the first time, got a taste of what success is like when you start getting paid for your talent.
Yeah, so I mean, for the first time. And get yeah. Some money left for a lot of time, you know.
But I would say the politics of fashion are very, very intense. You are around these people and you watch opportunities kind of happen, and you find that a certain designer may favor you, but it's where you're sitting when that show happens. Who are you sitting with? Are you in that shot? Is Anna Wintour three people away from you? It's so heady because it's not organic. It's super constructed. Mm. And It's curated, and then as a result, you have to reflect on all your wins that week and use it as collateral to get you into the right editorial placement to wear the current collection of so and so, so that you're positioned to potentially get a campaign.
This is I'm exhausted just listening to you about it. I mean, this is like,
I'm sure there's a lot of accidental rudeness too, like Naomi Campbell accidentally forgetting your name. Like Orville Peck was telling me he went to a Dior show and he was seated next to a certain Kim Kardashian West, and maybe you can bleep that name out, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're in the front row. Orville was invited. Of course, the Kardashians were invited, and they turned to him. Orville was in head-to-toe Dior cowboy outfit, right? And they go, this is amazing. Is it real? And Orville's like, how would I be sitting in the front row of this show in a fake Dior outfit? Like, of course it's real. How would I have this seat? From knocking off these outfits.
They asked her if it was a knockoff?
Yes.
Is that a Santee Alley knockoff?
Yes. And I just remember, they earnestly thought, like,
the irony of a Kardashian asking if something is real.
I guess because it was one of a kind.
Seriously.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
That's so funny.
But I'm sure, Miss Fame, there's a lot of accidental sort of, it's heady, but you probably are so, you're in drag, you can't take anything so seriously.
Yeah. But the other thing is trying to redirect these people to saying, oh, I'm not just entertainment. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm invited as a guest just like you. The thing is, these people, these other people, let's say Kim Kardashian's getting paid a lot of money to attend anything. She's not just showing up. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming.
Well, okay. No,
I'm assuming.
Work in accounting.
She doesn't show up. Yeah, I work in accounting. My lipstick told me that. It's a tough road out there. And I think that certain people get paid, from what I understand and what people tell me, that there is a lot of money being directed around. So trying to gain respect in this industry, not only just to sit there and maybe sometimes receive a coat or receive a bag, because the bag won't pay the rent, but it's a nice gesture. So having to stay around long enough that these designers inevitably will invest in you and say, hey, we're going to throw you a contract, a multi-year contract that will keep you paid so that one day you can build your life because we want to keep you in fashion, versus, oh, how many times can you jump through hoops for us?
Right.
So these are the things I've talked about this. I fired my agent at IMG. I was represented in Paris for 5 years, and I just had a meltdown during February of 2020, where I said, I'm no longer going to keep accepting bullshit because I'm literally out here knocking down doors and getting in and claiming opportunities, but you're sitting back here and wasting my time. And I went public with it. And I thought, maybe it's going to be my house is on fire kind of situation. But at this point, I'm getting older and my life is, this is like a comfortable experience where I'm at right now. I'm not fully comfortable, but I'm living in, I have an apartment here in Zurich. It's not my forever place. It's not the most ideal situation. I'm still not a homeowner. There's things I want to experience in my life, but I've taken decisions that were really geared towards me satisfying my passion projects. I chose my passion projects over everything. And sometimes when you do that, you need to keep kind of one hand in this basket and one hand in this other basket so that you don't lose maybe your stability. Yeah. And what I'm realizing now is I've put so much stock in passion projects that I'm trying to circle back to what really matters. And also looking back at where we all started, that when I moved to New York, I was hopping on couches and I was practicing. Well, I was homeless at times in New York. So this is actually a step in the right direction. It's not been an immediate win. I've never had an immediate
hit. That's the name of your autobiography, Fame. No longer homeless.
Starving.
No longer homeless and loving it.
Yeah.
I'm in here, I'm giving you like this deep dive, but this is kind of what I've been thinking about.
Honestly, on this podcast, we try to, you know, by sometimes accidentally touch on it, but people's relationships with beauty and somebody like you who, I mean, I hope you give yourself credit. You've only become more beautiful and iconic and somehow even more kind as the years have gone by. And you should be extremely proud of everything you've done with yourself.
Yeah, it's so kind of you.
And it's a refined, the image has become so refined. And
we talk about you like this untouchable, like, wouldn't it be crazy if any of us even for a second looked like that person?
It's the, you know, like, and it, for me, I focus on the hair sometimes. It's like the hair in this, it's this area. The temples, the eye, the hair, the hairline. And I'm like, not in 1 million motherfucking years could I ever like get to that point where it's so well done. It is actually flawless, not using hyperbole. And it just, everything is so in place and it stays that way throughout, during the day at fucking Fashion Week. It's like truly a marvel.
Oh, that's the hardest thing. Daytime,
Mary.
Realness.
Without a veil.
You cannot have bumpy skin. And I'm a person, I have acne prone skin. You have to have the perfect moment. It always has to be, you can't have like a shit show. So that means literally going like raw vegan for weeks before Fashion Week, getting that body line down, taking like tons of supplements, not smoking, not eating sugar, eating only living food.
Over for
Mama,
you.
And Mama, then getting
you
lost to Paris to be like,
second
okay,
word.
Bitch.
You lost me at the second word that you said.
You know what, though, Fame, to be honest.
You know what? People are going to listen and think I sound like the most like upper crust, unobtainable. The reality is I've carved out an experience in this lifetime for moments. That Fashion Week storyline is only for a fragment of my month, my week, my year. And then I go back to real life where, you know,
smoking
like shit gets real and I'm
sandwiches.
At home and I'm like trying to figure out like the
You're
other
back to
shit
slinging
going
roast
down
beef
in
and cheddar at Arby's.
Yes.
I will say your beauty is so inspiring because it's so peak and so perfect. But having people like you in the world is great because on one hand, of course, it's aspirational. On the other hand, it kind of takes the pressure off some of us.
Yes.
That like you're there and like, thank God she did that because the rest of us are like, who could fault us?
Yeah. Exactly.
We're not her and no one expects us to be her.
But
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Thank you.
I will say, in response to that, you can't, when you set when image is the only form of like how you're managing your monetary goal,
yes,
like beauty is what I'm using as collateral here. It's a very dangerous road because you will have your shelf life
for me.
Will catch you and you'll literally be left. So thankfully, you know, using humor and using your intellect and finding other ways, become an expert. Like literally for me, here's where I'm going to sound and I'm going to use big smart words. Be the expert of whatever field you choose to be in so that when you age out and you're no longer the it factor, that your brain is so good at what you do that people will pay for your thought process around it. That you can literally step out, not be seen, and then you can throw information and advice. And I'm hoping that this works out for me in the end. I could just be fucking digging myself in a big golden hole.
Yeah.
But I do because my daily living isn't glamorous. It really isn't. I took a shower and I put on a fucking light for you guys. I put a light. I sat in my only room that's done this in this one of those fucking anti-depression apartment. Everything salt else is boxes. Which one?
Can I ask a question? I have to ask.
Yes.
We're going to take another break just in case. And I have to ask, because I know that there's going to be some Drag Race fans who just would love to hear. Would you ever do, I don't want to say All Stars, but would you ever do like a network TV show, let's say a competition style show, judging?
Glow Up or something?
Yeah, like a makeup judging or something?
Yeah.
Yes. I think I'm at a point where I find, as we just talked about, giving away that knowledge, that point of perspective. I know what I'm good at, and I know that it's based around image and directing image and giving guidance to people that are equally as aspirational to make it in that field. But it's not just specific to fashion. You know, these kind of tips and advices could be given to anybody that does any form of drag, that does any form of anything that has a camera involved. You know, knowing kind of body language, where your lighting is supposed to be, what's going to flatter you the most. We all pick up on this stuff. Our job puts us in a position where we start to accumulate, I need this kind of light in order for my makeup to read, Trixie.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. It's yeah. taken me a long time light. Of confidence in front of the camera to be able to walk into a set and not feel like I'm overstepping my boundaries by telling people what the lights have to do for my style of makeup.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't want to insult anybody here, you know, but I need you to blast me with a barn light.
Yeah.
I don't want this. Yeah. I don't want an overhead. I don't want side fills. I need you to shoot me. Shoot me like Oprah
from the front.
In her late 80s.
Yeah. And from the heart.
It's not even hard, but it
hit
is interesting.
Hard.
Yeah. Well, so what would be.
But your... yeah, I would love to be involved in that kind of experience. I think, you know, I'm starting to realize that having this dialogue is starting to come up more. I like real human exchanges. Right before Fashion Week and before COVID, the last show I was doing, I did this big interview for Mugler and with Loic Prigent, who is like this fashion interviewer that's working with every influential and important fixture in fashion. He's got a very respectful and a reputable career in fashion. And when I watched back the footage, because we always check how we've done and how it looks, I thought I had fun. I looked good. Those things matter. Mm. And my kind of introspective conversation around fashion is like, it's like this whimsical, lighthearted approach, but there's a form of knowledge that has come in through kind of being obsessed with beauty and women since the 90s, because I was a child of the 80s and the 90s were my comprehensive years. So I really got like what was happening when it was happening.
Yeah.
So I think seeing it all come together, you get to a point where you start to have a confidence around what you do. You just know what works for you.
Yeah, like,
this is
my you're an expert.
Realm.
You're an expert.
You're
I'm
an
good
expert.
Here.
It's the truth.
And I'm ready. For drag, I don't think anything really prepares you to shoot a drag queen like shooting drag queens. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You become an expert. You get used to like, oh, I remember what good light feels like in my eyes.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
you,
right.
You look at the camera and
something
you feel,
can feel wrong.
You're like,
yeah.
This lighting feels like it's really not what it needs to be.
Yeah.
When it's good, it's reassuring. You feel much better about everything that's going on that day. It takes one piece of the pressure off.
And like with drag, I'm sorry, like I know a lot of people think I'm Cindy Crawford, but I'm actually not.
I know.
And Cindy Crawfish.
Cindy Crawford. But like one, you know, 5 degrees of an angle of the chin and, you know, in 5 little clicks of a light, it is like boot nasty, toe up, boot nasty, like, you know, and then it,
Doc Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doc Brown.
So yeah, I mean, it's a tricky thing. I think we probably should have
to
wrap it up.
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap it.
Let me ask you some, I want to ask you a really quick question though.
Yes.
So speaking of 90s, yes. 90s inspiration.
Linda.
Who would be Linda? It would be Linda, your yeah. ultimate icon.
Well, I don't know, maybe, yeah, but go ahead, ask the question.
Who is your, like, give me three absolute beauty icons, fashion, beauty, whatever. We're looking at this nude picture of you. Sorry.
That was during the summer.
See, I'm going to bring
That's
this to a photo shoot. And I'm
going
to like, the light doesn't feel right. Can you do more like this? And I'm going to hold up this
yeah,
nude
right?
of you.
Yeah,
give me your
that,
top
no, that was,
three beauty icons, goddesses, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. Linda Evangelista always. And yeah. She's always been it because she's really a master, and she knows, and she's, it's controlled, but then you, it's a very well-studied art form. So she's up there. Kristen McMenemy, because she's this really odd character in fashion. It wasn't about conventional beauty, and she was able to kind of carve out her own identity being the dirty couture, you know, kind of aspect of fashion. It was this unrefined identity, but then she could be expensive, which I like this about her. Naomi is still untouchable. And yeah. I'm using like the top girls, like not these secret sideline girls that were just, but, and Erin O'Connor, this is somebody that I've met in London. She's just, she was a dancer, and I think she identifies more as a dancer than a model, but she's truly a model that has a dance background, and her positioning and body language, it's a form of control that I do not have to the degree that a dancer does have.
Let's get you in the studio.
Yeah, come on. Let's practice those steps, honey.
I know, right? I still don't. I can't move my legs in that way. I can stand, sit, and perch, but there's certain things like, you know, heels are uncomfortable. But I know we've just maxed out, and I don't want to keep you. Did we max out on time?
Listen, I'm so happy. This was so overdue. We couldn't have a pod about beauty without having somebody like you. You're such a legend. We just love you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for sending me your makeup, because, bitch, I really love it.
Yeah.
I really love it.
We talk about you all the time. I hope that's not weird. We talk about you all the time.
No. Yeah. I love you guys. You're and I'm so proud of what you've been able to achieve. And like, you've set the bar, and you've continually shown up for all the work and the dedication. And it's like, it's paying off. It's fully paid off. You give me hope, because it's truly a miracle that we were able to break through this hard.
Violet told me yesterday, she's amazing. Like, I'm so amazed with everything you've done, because honestly, I didn't see it for you.
No, it's hard. I can't believe how hard it is to keep managing it. And you know how many people tell us from our series, they're like, your season has had so many incredible stars.
Yes,
like your season still has some of the most influential people that have left Drag Race and gone on to change a narrative out there. I keep saying change a narrative, but we have.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, your name is at the top of that list when people start listing those people. So congratulations. Yeah. I can't wait to everything ends and you can come visit us in Los Angeles again. We miss you.
Yes, please do.
Yes.
And good luck.
Maybe
in
I'll
Zurich.
Start painting faces again. Thank you, my love. I appreciate that.
I love you, fame. Thank you so much.
Bye.